Hello, everybody. Welcome again to another Blessed Winds Bible Messages. This week, I want to talk to you guys about problem solving. And what do I mean by problem solving? I mean not arguing. How do we solve problems in family relationships, between friends, whatever? How do we do that without it turning into an argument, without it turning into a quarrel, as the Bible says? How do we avoid that? Because we're going to disagree. We all have opinions. All we can agree on is the truth, and the truth is the Word, and that's the Bible. But after that, we can have opinions on things. I can really like the color orange, and my wife can really like the color green. That's our opinions. So how do we problem solve without quarreling? And I've been thinking of a scripture, 1 Peter 3:8 through 12. Finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. So that's verse 8. Let's break that down real quick. Be sympathetic. We need to be conscious of the other person's feelings. Another way to put it is we need to be empathetic. We need to think about what it would be like in their shoes. We need to love one another. That goes without saying any further. And we need to be compassionate. We need to have a heart towards that love and that person. We need to show them compassion. We need to be humble. Humility is very important. We're not always the biggest and the best. We're just dust in the wind. Verse 9. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you are called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Don't repay evil with evil. If somebody has done something to us, we shouldn't be repaying that with the same. If somebody's angry with us and wanting to argue with us because they're angry, we should not be arguing and getting angry in return. That's repaying evil with evil. If somebody calls us a name, although it might be pleasing to our flesh to come up with a better name to call that person, we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to repay that insult with love. We need to repay the evil with a blessing. You need to bless that person. We need to look and we need to actually pray for that person that is angry at us and calling us names. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for whether it's their salvation, whether we need to be praying for their peace. We need to be repaying them with a good word. Because to this you were called, so you may inherit a blessing. We're doing all this. We're calling for a blessing for these people because we know we are going to receive a blessing. Verse 10, 4. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. We need to keep our tongues from evil because we want to see good days. Ponder this for a second. What happens when we're really upset and we're angry about things and we're irritated with how people are acting? What does that cause in our life? It causes stress. What happens when we become stressed? It's the devil working on us. The devil is tightening up a vice around us when he's doing this. What is happening at that point in time is we're not enjoying our life because we're stressed. We open the door by using our tongue. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. We want to turn away that wrath. We want to turn away that anger. Our lips are a gateway for our tongue. If we can keep our lips closed, our tongues will not be able to push their way through. If you're having thoughts in your head that you're going to say something, that you're going to use your tongue for evil, keep your mouth closed. Prevent yourself from doing it. In your brain, shut down that thought. If that thought doesn't see the light of day, it dies. We need to watch out for deceitful speech. So what's deceitful? Things that mislead. We need to watch out for lies. We need to make sure that we're not propagating lies. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. That's Psalm 34:13. Proverbs 12:22, the Lord detests lying lips because he delights in people who are trustworthy. We want to be trustworthy. We don't want to be deceitful. We want, when we talk, people to look at us and go, I can trust that person. Their word is their bond. Their speech is not deceitful. Verse 11, they must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. We need to turn from the evil and do good. We can't be divisive. We can't be causing problems between people. We can't be gossiping. If we cause division, it's displeasing to the Lord. Division leads to strife, and strife to controversy and problems. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. I know I don't want to be one that's doing evil and against the Lord. I don't want to be there. With all of this, this talks about problem solving. This talks about how do we solve problems without being angry, without arguing. We need to remove the emotions when it comes to problem solving. The only emotion that should be there is love. James 1:19 through 20 says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God deserves. We really need to watch what we say, so we need to listen first. When God created us, we were given two ears and one mouth. That shows that listening is twice as important as speaking. We need to hear what is going on so that we understand. And we need to be slow to anger. Righteousness is not produced by anger. Here's the test. If you're having a problem-solving session or a discussion with somebody, here's a test to see if you're getting angry. When you're trying to bring up your point, are you raising your voice? If you are, then you're probably becoming emotional. Recognize that. Pull back and listen to what the Lord is saying. You need to give the Lord a second to speak through you. He's not going to barge in and push his words into your mouth. The devil will. You need to pause, pray, and give the Holy Spirit a second to respond. Because if you start shooting from the hip and start yelling and carrying on, you're allowing the devil to respond for you. The Spirit dwells within us. It's time for him to drive the bus. Romans 8:9. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. He is here. He's here whether we're perfect or not. We've accepted the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, into us when we've asked him to save us. He moved in. I don't know how many of you have ever moved into a new house. Was there stuff that needed to be done? Maybe the walls needed to be painted. Maybe there was some drywall that had to be fixed. The Holy Spirit moved into us. We are his dwelling place. We are his vessel. There may be some cobwebs. We might need a little bit of paint. He's going to do it. He's going to take the time if we allow it. But we need to give him that time and we need to ask him to do it. One of the other things, as you're talking about problem solving, we need to remember that we are what we say. I know everybody has heard of you are what you eat, and I had pizza for lunch, so apparently I'm turning into a pepperoni. But we are what we say. Luke 6:45, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Your heart is where your words come from. Your heart and your words are you. You need to be a good person, and the words you speak show if you are. I heard a news broadcast this week about people were talking about who they felt an ideal partner was and how they could tell whether this was an ideal partner. They watched how they treated others. And the funny thing is, the report focused on like a restaurant wait staff, how nice the person was to the restaurant wait staff showed how nice they were. It's kind of interesting. It's not the people you love. It's not the people you're trying to impress that we need to be watching how you speak to them. It's the people that you have no reason to impress. How do you speak to those people? I was in the hospital a couple of years ago, and I didn't want to be that patient. I didn't want to be the one that was angry. I wanted to be the one that the nurses wanted to come into my room and talk to me and see how things were going. I wanted to be the one that when the nurses came in, they knew I was going to be smiling, so they were smiling. So early on in my marriage, my wife and I set up ground rules for having discussions. Ways to prevent small problems becoming arguments. The Lord doesn't want us to argue. Rules or guidelines that we came up with were biblical. The first one was choose your battles. Do we even need to discuss it? Are you offended? Why are you offended? Should you have been offended? Ecclesiastes 7:21 through 22. Do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. For you know in your heart that many times you yourself have cursed others. We're not perfect. Now, we didn't curse people aloud, but every once in a while in our heart, we get upset. And maybe we've been upset with somebody, and that's where they're at. You've cursed somebody in your heart. Never came out. Never came out of your mouth. The Holy Spirit helped you forgive that person. Did it happen that very minute? The more often you do it, the quicker it happens. So what happens is if you listen to everything everybody says, occasionally they don't understand that gate that they have right in front of their tongue, their lips. And sometimes they vent. You have to decide, does it really matter? The next rule was no name calling. If you're calling somebody a name, you have developed an emotional attachment other than love to the topic. And you need to remove some of the emotion and combat it with just love in order to solve the problem. Matthew 5:21-22. You've heard that it was said to people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, contempt is answerable to the court, and anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. You fool. I can tell you that I've heard people called much stronger things than you fool through my life. Name calling doesn't solve the problem. You need to say a kind word instead. It's Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. It's your mouth. It's your lips that are the gate. You have free will to decide, is what that is coming out of your mouth godly or of the devil? You should avoid swearing. I was really good at using the sentence enhancers. I could use the words, they flowed out of me like a fountain. And I stopped. I've repented. I realized what I was doing was a sin. Proverbs 4:24, keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. John 5:12 says, above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Once I've realized this and realized how displeasing the things coming out of my mouth were to God, and how much I was letting the devil in, it was filling me with stress and it was filling me with anger. Once I let all that go, I've been much happier. The other thing my wife and I talked about is don't pack the suitcase. If somebody hurt you, if somebody has sinned against you, you need to let them know. Ephesians 4:26 and 27. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. You need to go to Matthew 18:15 and remember what was said there. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault. Just between the two of you, if they listen, you have won them over. You ever have a discussion with somebody and they're upset at you and they say, well, 5 months ago you did this too, and you weren't aware of it? That's hard to deal with. And you have to ask yourself at that point in time, if I hurt you that bad, why didn't you tell me? Or if it wasn't a big deal, you needed to forgive them at that time and move on. Bringing it up 3 months later during another discussion isn't fair to either one of you. We need to listen. We need to understand their point of view. James 1:19 through 20. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God deserves. And while you're talking about a problem, if you discover that you're wrong, and I can tell you this, I have discovered this in discussions with people, in professional, in my relationship with my wife, in talking with my kids, I've discovered humbly that I can be wrong. And when I'm wrong, I stop right there and repent. I ask their forgiveness and the Lord's forgiveness, because I'm not trying to win an argument. I'm trying to solve a problem. And I'm not trying to solve the problem with what I want. And so if you approach problems with that mindset, that you may not be right, that it's entirely possible your perception could be off, then it's easier when you get the facts and the truth to repent. There should be no lies. Psalm 34:13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Again, your lips are the gate. If your tongue is trying to spew something, your lips are moving around too, just close them. Proverbs 12:22, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. We need to surrender our pride when we find out we're wrong. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. We need to lay down our pride, put it aside. Some other things that I've discovered over time is when these communications and discussions are occurring over an electronic mean. Technology is two-dimensional, and a conversation with somebody is three-dimensional. With a conversation, you see facial expressions, tone, inflection. With a text or an email, you don't. You see a two-dimensional phrase that is subject to the interpretation of the emotion of the other person. Before we respond to these things, we need to think, pause, and let the Spirit speak through us. Remember, once you hit send on an email or text, it's gone. You can't put that toothpaste back in the tube. So remember, the Holy Spirit's not pushy. He's going to move in, and he's going to wait for you to ask him to do things. He's not going to force his way out of your mouth like the devil does. Take a breath, control your tongue, and make sure that gate is ready to close if you need it to. It's also good if you go into the discussion with the idea that this is going to be a learning experience on how to avoid an argument in the future. We need to remember Proverbs 26:11-12. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for them. What that's saying is you need to realize that wisdom comes through learning from your past experiences. Fools repeat their folly. There is more hope for a fool than a wise person that returns to their own mistakes. Over the years, with my wife and I using this problem-solving technique, and really all it is common courtesy and biblical direction, we have less and less and less discussions and concerns. We have learned what doors the devil uses to enter its way into the conversation. And we've closed them so that we can avoid having more than discussions. We can avoid quarrels. In closing, we are all in a constant spiritual battle between good and evil. We choose the words we speak. Are we going to allow our tongues to be used for good or daggers for evil? Know the rules. Know what the Bible says about having discussions. Remember to keep love in your heart. So let's pray. Lord, thank you for dwelling inside me. Thank you for being here and being that still small voice. Lord, I invite you into every conversation and relationship that I have. Lord, whether it's a difficult discussion or a friendly conversation, Lord, I pray that you are there. Lord, I'm going to give you that second of pause to invite you to say what you need to say. I'm going to close the door on the devil. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for listening again to another Blessed Winds Bible message. Remember to like and subscribe on whatever podcast or YouTube that you're listening to. Thank you again for all your support. And Lord Jesus, this is for you. Thank you for using me as the vessel to spread your word, to give it to the one that needs it. In Jesus' name, amen.